Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber, StuWeb.com, and it is Tuesday, June the 23rd, 2026, and I have the honor to have Professor Joe on as my co-host, and honored to have Paul Register on, who's a whistleblower on the Indians, natural Indians of South Dakota and other places, and he's got a lot on Christine Noem, the former governor of South Dakota. I've had videotaped. They're up on my site under Breaking News, or on Radio Bar 4. But I've had the honor to have dinner with Paul two or three, four times, whatever it was. And I've had the honor to meet Joe clear back in 1985, I think it was. 1995, I don't remember. It's been a long time, but Joe, I want you to break out the latest thing on Israel, because I'm sick tonight. Folks, I was at the hospital twice this week. I don't want to get into it. But I want Joe to put out his report about Israel, and then we're going to go in with Paul about the natural or the Indian tribes and what the abuse is. Go ahead, Joe.
Alright, what we're going to do is real quick, just do the headlines, and we're going to turn it over to Paul, because he's got some good information as to what's happening on the reservation. Right now, Bibi Netanyahu and his party have come out and just simply said, we are fighting on eight fronts, and we are going to take southern Lebanon. It's going to be ours, it's going to be our playground. And we are going to destroy it like we did Gaza. So all of those people that lived in southern Lebanon are going to lose their houses and their property, and they're going to become refugees. Personally, I think what's going to happen is this is part of the story of Greater Israel, because that's what the flag means. The two lines that are on the flag represent the Euphrates, and then extending itself all the way to Egypt and the Nile. So that's going to be Greater Israel, extending even all the way up to Syria and all the way up to the border of Iraq. And so they have said, we are appointed by God, and they came right out and just said it right out. We are going to be the leaders of the world. Just like a lot of whistleblowers have been saying since the 1930s. That's a lot of years. Okay, so that's enough of that. Paul, microphone is yours.
Oh, yeah. So, basically, just getting into the specifics. Within the last week or so, there have been federal charges that have brought forth two gentlemen who were involved with a young Native American girl who was murdered and her body was found in South Dakota. The charges were initiated down in Iowa, and the little girl's name, she was, I believe she was 15, her name is McKenna Wendell, and she was a Native American girl who was led out of state for sexual purposes by her uncle. She was given cocaine, died somewhere along in the process, and her uncle Mark Milk and another gentleman were two that were brought up on charges in reference to this. The key to this is that Mark Milk had been in the penitentiary for some time until his case was commuted by Christy Noem. And so Mark was the one who basically took his niece and put her into trafficking, but yet they don't have trafficking charges. They don't have any kind of manslaughter charges against what took place, this little girl being killed in the process.
Now, Christy Noem, real quick, Paul, she should be in prison, shouldn't she?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, it's like she was every bit the reason that Mark Milk was out, and yet somehow these charges stemmed out of Iowa. But the little girl's body was found kind of in a rural area in South Dakota, so the federal charges were brought along as far as this. And anybody that has known Kristi Noem for some time, she slithers about and gets her hands in just about anything that makes her money or helps build her public
persona.
And largely what has taken place, because she ended up becoming the special envoy for a while, but recently in the last week or so, and this is important for people to start to gain knowledge of, she became the special advisor for mining operations for a Canadian operation called Nova Red Mining. And so she is the special advisor as far as that. The reason that they've picked her, and this isn't just the first time that any South Dakota governor has been deeply involved in mining. You have both Mike Rounds and who is Senator Mike Rounds now, and former Governor Dennis Dugard, both have their hands as far as special contributors to the what was once known as the Homestake Mine in Leeds, South Dakota. That has since been turned into the Sanford Underground Research Facility, which is financed by T. Denny Sanford, who is runs all the Sanford Medical, which is major medical throughout the Dakotas. It's one of the easily one of the biggest, certainly with medical, he has his hands in the Denny Sanford Premier Center, which is an entertainment venue. He was made his money through Premier Bank Card, so his efforts has all been tied into this. And if you were to look at a cross-section of the Sanford Underground Research Facility, you'll see the area that it says where they're doing the research, and yet the mine itself goes down like another 2,000 feet that supposedly isn't being used for anything, and all of this occurs right along the corridor that runs from Mexico all the way up through Lyman, Colorado, and cuts up through the Black Hills, ends up going north to Williston, North Dakota, taking a hard left, butting up against the Fort Peck Reservation, and crossing over to the Port of Raymond into Canada. And they refer to this as the Heartland Expressway. And it's a three-tiered operation. The first one from Laredo, Texas to Lyman, Colorado, then Lyman to Belfouche, South Dakota, and then Belfouche, South Dakota, all the way up to the Port of Raymond. And they refer to it as a trade route between the three nations. And this is certainly not a trade route. This is becoming a trafficking superhighway. It runs up against all these reservations all throughout the Midwest. And if you look at all the people that have gone missing in those areas, it's through the roof right now, and they're butting up right up against these reservations, picking off people, and certainly all this is taking place. And when Kristi Noem was the governor of South Dakota, she actually used a donation, $1 million donation from a Tennessee auto salvage billionaire by the name of Willis Johnson, who basically financed Kristi Noem to utilize South Dakota National Guard to guard the southern border at Eagle Pass. Well, Eagle Pass is about 100 miles from Laredo, Texas, which is right across from Nuevo Laredo, which essentially is where you have cartel headquarters down there.
Okay, now, Paul, real quick. What was her position under Trump administration recently until he got rid of her? Because of her ad, supposedly in the press, or saying Legacy Press, or calling it, because
she was
riding around on a horse,
spent
$1 million on herself, advertised herself as some queen riding around a horse in South Dakota.
Oh, yeah, and all this after being, here you have her autobiography or whatever coming out, and her glamorizing shooting a dog and shooting a goat, and it's the most, like, grandiose pat on the back of just of anybody I've ever seen.
Okay,
it's like,
but
lady, yeah,
Paul,
yeah, it's just,
I've met with you personally, and we've had dinner together, I don't know, 3 or 4 times, videotaped a couple times, when I was up in your state, South Dakota. Now, I've come to know you. Solid as a rock, honest as a rock. You're a federal whistleblower, and you deserve credit. People need to know who you are. You deserve credit.
Yeah.
Now, I give you full credit.
I would defer all the credit in the world just to get somebody to come in and actually spotlight what's going on in South Dakota, because as we've talked before, it's like I've met with several families throughout South Dakota, and now it is extended to several families whose loved one was killed in South Dakota, missing, murdered, wrongful
death.
But
these are tribes. These are Indian tribes, as you're talking about.
Yeah.
And,
oh, I'm talking all over it.
You're the top whistleblower. You're the top whistleblower when it comes to Indian tribes and Indian reservations, other than Leonard Peltier, which I tried to get on today for the interview tonight, but we're going to have him in the future, and you're part of it. So is Joe.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, this extends beyond the Indian tribes when it comes to these families. I have several Caucasian families whose loved one happened to be in the state of South Dakota, was murdered, and these families are fighting like crazy to get answers. And it's like the people that the families that I've talked to are from Kentucky, Washington State, Iowa, California, North Dakota. I have I've made contact with all these families from other states. They're like, I can't get answers for how my loved one was killed, and that has become consistent with the 40 plus contacts that I have for these cases. And so basically what I know to say is that the state is shutting out these answers and basically utilizing these routes and everything so that the feds don't intervene outside of the federal offices in Sioux Falls and in the Midwest, for the simple fact that they know that they have all their bases covered throughout the Midwest. It's like they have the local Sioux Falls office. They have all the agencies in the area. I know that the gal who is the director of human trafficking for South Dakota had such little credentials for that position that she was like your base level corrections officer at the women's prison, and beyond that, the only thing that she had going for her is that she had a copy distribution business in Gettysburg, South Dakota, which is like 1,200 people, in the biggest town for like 50 miles, regardless of which way you point, would have no business having a coffee distribution business in this. But she's now the head of human trafficking for South Dakota, and all of the leading nonprofit for human trafficking is Call to Freedom in South Dakota. And if you're calling the national headquarters, they route all the cases to the head of Call to Freedom and the head of human trafficking for South Dakota, so that those two entities can shut it down.
Now, all these people are part of the gang. I'm calling it the gang of thieves, of child molestations, of kidnapping and murders, all kinds of stuff of people. Mainly, you have focused on the Indians, okay, in these tribes. Now, Leonard Peltier, I was in jail with.
That's where the trafficking is taking place, is within the Native American culture. You do see different races as well, but nothing like what you see happening with the Native Americans. And part of that is because like they're not the state utilizes child protective services under any circumstance to basically tear apart Native American families. They pull the kids out and put them in institutions, put them on inappropriate medications for them. They don't care. It's like it's all money to them.
They kidnap them, and put them in these places, and you've worked in some of these places where these kids are. I mean, you're a whistleblower, the max. I mean, I'm sorry it happened, but You got a divorce, actually. You love your wife, but you got divorced because the heat, and what you were doing. But God drove you there. Jesus Christ drove you there. Heard it out of your own mouth.
Yeah, I basically, like, I'm still in the realm of this, and just I know that when all I know to say is like it was almost like by design that I came into this where you know when God is ushering you down a path that you never even considered going, and yet all of a sudden you're peeling back the layers on something that is so horrific. You know, it's like, okay, Lord, I understand you've got this lined up, and if it's what's necessary, then by all means, it's like, put it in play, and I'll go try to find all these answers. And so I've been blessed in the sense with all the different families that have put their faith in me to try to navigate this and try to get as many answers as possible. I've driven to all over the state of South Dakota. I've driven outside of South Dakota looking for answers, and in a few weeks I'm going out of state to meet with a family who said their loved one, the state of South Dakota said their loved one committed suicide in South Dakota, and I have significant evidence, both video, pictures, and human testimony that declares otherwise, that, okay, if you have a crowd of people and they say she shot herself in the middle of a dance floor in a crowded room and nobody saw a firearm, how does that come to be?
Exactly. Joe, you want to pick it up for a minute?
Yeah, I find it interesting that Paul is mentioning the trade route. I call it the rat line. For obvious reasons. But anyway, that bit from Laredo, Eagle Pass, the area that is west of that, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
Big Bend National Park, and that's one of the reasons why they choose that route. And the route going up there, it sparks.
Oh, you hit the nail on the head. It's like I drove in 2023. I actually went to visit a friend of mine in Colorado, so I decided to take the stretch from Rapid City down to Lyman, Colorado. And you nailed the biggest component of this is there's nothing there. It's like it was the most terrifying almost 500 miles that I drove. Just because I was making the trip anyway, but I decided to take this route, and it was just, it's so desolate, it's terrifying.
Yeah, it is. And that entire area, I can tell you, of the Big Bend area, between all the way up to Alpine and Fort Davis and Marfa, there's a stretch of road that goes from Oinaga all the way up to Marfa. There's nothing. Even a gas station.
Yeah. Yep. I actually drove through, like, because the only town that really exists in between that is, you have Shadron, Nebraska, and then you have Scotts Bluff, and otherwise it's like those are the only two that are in between that you drive through. And it's like you're through Shadron within just a few minutes. In Scotts Bluff, it doesn't take that long. But one of the big cases that I'm helping out with is the case of a kid who went missing for 5 years. His name's Chance Engelbert, and they said that they came out and declared him deceased last year. And they said that he'd gone missing in an area. And they located him in an area that had been searched countless times, and yet they say that in the middle, like he was caught in a significant rainstorm. He was inebriated. They're saying he walked 2 miles to this trailhead and then walked 4+ miles into the hills just to fall off a cliff. And it's like the whole thing stinks to high heaven, and yet that family is stuck in this process where they can't get answers, and the answers they do get are just completely false. But that's the only one that's in this central location where all this trafficking is taking place. And so, yeah, I just, anywhere south of Scotts Bluff going down to Lyman, Colorado, once you get to Lyman, Colorado, if you look at Lyman, Colorado on a map, it just, I mean, it spider webs in all directions. So I have zero doubt that that is a huge hub for everything as far as trafficking, because it does go, just like I said, goes every which direction.
But is not North Dakota depopulating?
Oh, yeah, and certainly, like, the west side there, there's virtually nothing besides Williston. You have Dickinson's out there, but yeah, there's not much in that area whatsoever, and I don't doubt that the same would apply to northeast Montana, where the rest of this where the rest of this trade route is taking place.
So we could compare the Big Bend area along the Mexican border,
mm-hmm.
just like it is up there in North Dakota. Nothing.
Yes. Yep. I would completely agree with everything you're saying. I can attest to the stuff that I've seen from my vantage point, and it's like, if you're saying everything down south in that area resonates the same, then it's completely consistent with everything that I've seen here. It's like, it's just it's as free as could be. And the only, I remember one of the few cars that I actually, like, passed on the way, I did happen to see a car from Texas driving north as I was driving south, and it's like, sorry, this is too many coincidences that resonate the same as what it looks like.
Now, if you go down along the border, and everybody can remember when the invasion was taking place by the Third World Nation, there was a young guy from my hometown of El Paso, Texas, named Anthony Aguero. And what he did was, is he went from all the way from San Diego along the border all the way down to Nuevo Laredo and Bear Brownsville.
Mm-hmm.
And he would literally walk up to the invader and interview them and ask them where they're from. Now, in that, there would be all these kids, about every fourth person would have a kid that was maybe 3 years old at the most. And Anthony would go over and talk to them in Spanish, and then he would lift up the arm of the kid and it would just drop.
Anthony Corbero. Anthony Corbero, correct, Joe?
What's that?
Anthony Corbero?
No. Anthony Aguero.
Aguero.
He's not posting anymore, but you can go to Border Network News and you can see some of his old videos. He was one of the few guys that was telling the entire story. One day, you know, they're going to wake up to what Anthony did. It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was not a professional guy. Anthony just went up and talked to him all the way from Bob. From San Diego all the way to Brownsville. Now, the reason I'm saying this, you've got to look at that area, and it is so stark. It's empty.
Yeah.
And you can see why they would come up to the center at the Big Bend area all the way down to Brownsville, all the way to El Paso. And if you look at a Mexican map, the Mexican road map, there's even less small town on the other side for hundreds of miles.
Yeah, that's outrageous. And I'm also really glad that you made mention of San Diego, because that also has significant points to mention, because right now we have all this mining taking place, and like I said, Kristi Noem just was announced as special advisor for Nova Red Mining out of Canada, but T. Denny Sanford, who has his ties with the Sanford Underground Research Facility. He is South Dakota's biggest billionaire. And so he has the Underground Research Facility in the Black Hills in Lead, South Dakota. And further to the southwest is a town called Edgemont. And down south of Edgemont, 8 miles, is the largest underground survival complex. Like there's 575 survival bunkers on what's called Vivos X Point, which is 8 miles south of Edgemont, which there's not much further southwest of anything left in South Dakota. But Vivos X Point bought out the fort, the decommissioned Air Force Base Fort Igloo, and so they have 575 survival bunkers, which is the largest survival bunker community in all of North America. And so you have all this stuff taking place, and yet when you go and you look where Vivos is headquartered, it's down in San Diego. And T. Denny Sanford also has a children's library in San Diego.
Now, when I tell people, if you really want to get a picture of what all is talking about, to look at the area, how it's trafficked, you can go to Anthony Aguero's Builder Network News, or Oscar Blue, and Bib Bagwan were the early guys that went along the border, taking their chances and viewing. Like Anthony viewed 900 invaders. And remember, every fourth one was a kid. The guy or the woman was holding the kid, and the kid was knocked out. Anthony couldn't get him awake. Well, what does that tell you? They're trafficking, and Anthony would say, this kid's being trafficked.
Yeah.
Now, let's take that idea and what happens up on the res. The res is the same thing.
Uh-huh.
It is an unpopulated area. It is that point in which there's isolated little villages, and that is where the traffic begins for the reservation. And what have they got? Maybe a force of 10 res cops?
Yeah.
That does a 100 square mile area? No way. That's why they do it. That's why they traffic, because there's nobody there.
Yep, and every time that I've been to, like, if you look at a lot of the reservations throughout South Dakota, they're pressed right up against the borders. And so, like, you have the Flandreau Reservation, you have the Yankton Reservation, you have Rosebud, Pine Ridge, Standing Rock, all those are pressed right up against the borders. Eagle Butte is very isolated in the middle. It's not, it's just very centralized, but it's not anywhere near the border, and yet you have schools there that, like, there's one school that has a physical school, and then there's one that's in a neighboring town that I've seen job postings for this school, and it's like, where the hell would a school be in this town? It's like they wouldn't even have they have listings for an elementary school in this town, and it's like, there's nowhere to put this town. And everybody that I've spoken with who has been on Highway 212 going through the town of La Plante, South Dakota, there's a school right there, and yet you have the football field, you have the layout of the school, you drive past it, and the thing that is consistent, I've asked several people who go hunting east to west South Dakota, it's like, they say the same thing. It's like, I've never seen a kid present. And the school itself is pressed right up. I mean, you drive up the school, to the left is the school, to the right is a graveyard. It's like, who puts a school right on a graveyard? And so the other thing that I know is that even further to the west of Pier, there is a school that, it is the most isolated school that I've ever seen. You're driving 7 miles on a dirt road, and it's like, if there was a kid that was at this school and decided to try to escape from it, they're never going to make it. because there is nothing that surrounding them that can potentially save them in any way.
I want to make a statement. If I saw somebody kidnapping a kid, and I knew about something like this, and all the other stuff, I guarantee you, as an ex-Marine, and as a father, I would rip their eyeballs out, rip their nose off, rip their ears off, and stand there and look at them and say, "What next, punk?" before I send you to your grave or the hospital. You don't touch kids. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And that is something that is very much emphasized in Scripture, so it's like, what you do to the least of me, you do to me. So, it's like, yep, so it's like, okay, Lord, it's like, I know what you're asking of this, and we've got a fortress of corruption we got to start swinging the wrecking ball at, and you know the weak points, please hit it.
Now, here's something to think about. What happens to the kid? Now, there is a town in which you can go to, I won't mention the name, and you can circle around this Mexican restaurant, go peek over the back fence, and you will see 10 and 11-year-old kids washing dishes or sweeping up or mopping. And you know what they are.
Yeah.
They have nothing. They've just given enough to clothe themselves with and to eat. And that's just one of the tiny little things that are used. But of course, there is the other one where they are trafficking in personally or something along that nature. But
yeah.
Again, this whole thing that was in the Biden administration, the amount of trafficking of kids was horrendous.
Yeah, 2020, I saw, like, I first started really digging into this in 2016. When 2020 hit, it just... Like,
there's a school down in El Paso, Texas called Radford School for Girls. And Anthony followed the bus because they took him from the holding pen right down next to the border and brought him into Radford School for Girls in El Paso. And all that entire bus was filled with escorts and kids that they were walking up at Radford School for Girls. What do you think was going to be those, what do you think those kids are doing? Are they trafficking so that they can come up here and meet their mommy and daddy? That was their story. But no, they were being trafficked.
Yep. And with the other thing that I know that's very prevalent in South Dakota that doesn't get talked about near as much is the exploitation in reference to labor trafficking. And I know that there have been plenty of people who have tried to bring attention to, like I know that T. Denny Sanford and the city of Sioux Falls are all partnered heavily with John Morrell. And what is since turned into Smithfield, who is owned by China. And these meatpacking plants are heavily utilizing labor trafficking.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, certainly different farms throughout the Midwest are utilizing cheap labor to get that done. And just in the last couple of years, just in the nature of the area that I live in, you've seen this influx of migrant workers showing up that just weren't there 5-10 years ago.
I think, again, why the res does have it trafficking is because of the isolation and the poverty that exists on the res, and it makes it easy pickings for these traffickers.
Oh, and to emphasize your point, one of the other benefits or one of the other reasons that it's being utilized is because in the state of South Dakota, we know that the state is working with cartel. They allow cartels to set up on the reservations because that way they can conduct all the trafficking, because the state of South Dakota is basically financing its opioid crisis on the backs of stealing these Native American kids. All the money gets put into nonprofits here in South Dakota, certain, like these nonprofit institutions that are designed to help these kids. Yeah, all this money comes in from the feds, and nonprofits in South Dakota are self-policing. So all this money goes in there and gets dispersed to all these nefarious characters who basically help finance the opioid crisis, help with trafficking efforts, and if you are somehow involved in those aspects, you're like busted for a crime. It is a slap on the wrist. You're back in the game, and certainly with the people who are busted for meth or other opioids here in South Dakota, it's a slap on the wrist and you're back on the street. And the biggest reason is the state of South Dakota doesn't want to lose its customers.
I would think so, because when you look at the reason I'm mentioning that bringing Mexico into this, it mirrors exactly what's happening on the res.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing of it is, the trafficking goes both ways. Go all the way up north, and then can go all the way south.
Mm-hmm.
One thing.
Yeah.
They can traffic those kids both ways. And so again, it comes out to be, how do you police something like this? How do you take care of it? And the reason that it's difficult, in my opinion, is it's the money. There's
yeah.
an agenda down on the border. Trump has said the invaders are leaving. No, they're not.
No.
They have them in what I call tent prisons, 10 or 20 acres of these vast tents. And they will have maybe, I would say, a total of 300,000 in these different tents along the border. And you can be guaranteed that mixed in with that is the trafficking.
Yes.
And where's the money? People that own that private prison are given $35,000 per man.
Oh, jeez. Per
woman. Well, that'll give you an idea of how the trafficking up on the res is underway.
We have
an environment that has no eyes to see because it's so deserted.
Yeah, and it's like the unless you're driving through that area with that sort of thought process in your mind, which I would say well over 99% of Americans don't have that thought process, it's just going to be something that may be a little out of the ordinary. It's not going to be something that actually sits and resonates with people, and that there might be something truly nefarious going on.
Don't forget those kids are also used for drug trafficking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got anything more, Steve?
What's that?
You got anything more you want to comment on?
Yeah, I got a lot of things. Paul.
Go ahead.
Yes.
How do we shut it down? I got a militia of 1.5 million people. It's called GO, God is American Liberties. They're all the state of Colorado, Texas, and all the places you've named. I created this without a central bank. I'm calling all the militia of GO, the Guardians of American Liberties, in 1995. That I was written about in Time Magazine, creating militia. And the Southern Poverty Law Center hammered me, which, by the way, Robert Kennedy just put him in jail basically for 10 years. I put it up on my website about Time Magazine. Here I worked for Jonathan Beatty, but I was over the mainstream press. Sue Webb, an anti-Semitic, racist, Southern Poverty Law Center, part of the FBI, CIA, and the Mossad. Now, I did create a militia. I admit to it. It was state by state, county by county, city by city, in Denver, where I created it, Boulder. 20 people came up, so we want to honor you tonight. So they took me out to dinner, and they put a five-star general, they special ordered it, five-star general tag on my shoulder. Both lapels on my collar. An FBI agent came up, flashed his badge, said, take those off or I'm going to arrest you. I said, fuck you. He said, what? I said, fuck you. He said, what? I said, fuck you. How many times do I have to get it in your brain, you fed? They pinned this on me. The militia. The militia pinned this on me. Get out of my presence or I'm going to kick your ass and rip your eyeballs out. He left. We left. Nobody was arrested. That's how serious this is. But I'm asking all militia members of Gold, Guardians of American Liberty, and Bruce, and all the other militias that have been created since 1963 or 4, get activated. Be prepared. A lot of militias were up there at January 6th meeting. Capitol overthrow, where the government planted them. Now, get prepared, because here's the problem. This is Israel, but besides Israel, it's the Ukraine, because it's the fake Jews in the Ukraine that took over Israel. And Joel, I want you to give a 2-3 minute explanation of that, and then I want to continue your conversation with Paul, because Vaughn, we're getting ready for war. You know where the war is going to come from? It's going to come from Russia and China attacking us over the Ukraine. It's not over Israel. Israel is the pushing point. Israel is the fucking... It's the sluts pushing the thing. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, Paul, did you want to talk some more on the rest?
Well, basically, all I know to say really with what's going on is that, like, just in the last, I would say, 6 months, there has been a heightened emphasis on all these mining permits taking place in the Black Hills. I've seen where in the town of Piedmont, they decided to allow mining to take place without notifying the residents who live there, and that's just to the west of Rapid City. You have a fight going on right around Custer where they're trying to get mining operations set up there. They're working on the permits that are just to the west of Bevo's X Point and just to the southwest of Edgemont so that they can start mining operations there. And so basically all I know to say is that what's being done is obviously being done underground, and so unless there's some sort of surveillance taking place that the government takes initiative on, then they're just as culpable for not putting a stop to this.
Well, do you think that there will be trafficking around these mining operations?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I believe wholeheartedly that's how much of South Dakota has established itself, because I believe that ultimately what you have going on in South Dakota with the Black Hills, I believe that it's a lot like how things are in Switzerland. It's like everything is kind of done underneath, out of sight.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So in other words, they can do the trafficking and it not be surveilled.
Yeah, and what's been so funny is, like, I've known through the cases that I'm helping out with these other families, because they've educated me in a whole myriad of fashion, and one of it is just knowing the fact that the state media is in the state's pocket. And the reason I make mention of this is because I've seen more stuff posting in the last couple of years, where all of a sudden you'll have this these reports of South Dakota having like earthquake tremors of like 2.2, and it's like Yeah, it's like 2 point. I've been in a 5.5 and it didn't. I mean, it got decent coverage, but it's like if it's a 2.2, my guess is it's probably some sort of underground demolition taking place and not actual earthquake or even from fracking, because the stuff that I've seen is actually more to the east, because that's the side of South Dakota I live on. And it's like, there's not as much mining at all going on out here, with the exception of what's going on underground.
So in other words, what you would say is those underground things are a good way to do the trafficking?
Oh, absolutely. From what I've heard is that certain sources have told me that there's actually like an entire mechanism that gets from the Black Hills all the way to Chicago. And it's like, if that be the case, that this has been going on and they're able to move people that quick, which I don't doubt, that this is taking a shape that none of us could have ever anticipated.
So it also then would include less paperwork that would expose the trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And they hide it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here we have a rat line that can go all the way from the border up to North Dakota.
Yep.
You have a sparse population. You have then, of course, the means by which you can hide it. In other words, you can hide it behind something and not have to do the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, you wouldn't have to keep up on safety precautions that occur with the underground mining.
Yeah.
Or you would have to do less paperwork that might expose the trafficking.
Joe, may I add something to this? What did Christy know of him become a Canadian mine company representative? Kids on to Canada, Christine Noll, from South Dakota, the corrupt bitch. She needs to go to prison.
Yeah, it's like, and that only came up in the last week and a half that all of a sudden she's become an advisor for a Canadian mining firm. And it's like, when you have that many governors in a row, rounds to Dugard, to Christy Noll, and they're all like suddenly like deep into mining, that they'll give you all kinds of reasons as to like, oh, this is the research that we're doing, but there's all kinds of underground tunnels, not just in these areas. There's actually an underground tunnel that takes place at the South Dakota schools of mines, and there was a Italian physicist by the name of Alberto Lamut, who I want to say it was probably 10 years ago, maybe it was probably even a little bit more than that, but an Italian physicist who was brought to the School of Mines to teach, who supposedly went into his classroom and committed suicide by shooting himself in his classroom one day. And that has been completely buried in South Dakota media. You had a little bit of coverage, but yeah, all that stuff goes completely by the wayside, because the state knows they own all the entities necessary to make stuff go away.
Joe. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Super Spook. There's a book. No. Joe, you're an expert at this. Look, I'm sick, and I can't remember everything right now. But remember, somebody wrote a book about all the underground tunnels underneath America. A patriot. He was a murdered whistleblower. He wrote a book. Now, Super Spook Otis Johnson told me, 007 Otis Johnson, puts him in my search box on the internet. He says, so I got in the Situation Room, 60 floors below the White House. I got onto a rail car, put on an oxygen mask, rode on this thing. I had it looked like it was bulletproof. Round the little sub, two of us. We had to do a secret operation, and we had to be in Los Angeles in an hour. and we couldn't be seen by airplane. Me and another spook. And Otis worked for General Flynn. Situation room. The president orders him to get on this thing, this deal. He says, they told me to put on an oxygen mask. I put on an oxygen mask. He says, we're running. I don't know how fast, but we were between Washington and L.A. International Airport in 45 minutes. Secret underground facility. Underground. Not. These are boring machines. They built all these tunnels, and some whistleblower wrote a book about it. I forget his name. Way back, I'll have to try to find it, see if I can post it underneath this radio show, but Otis told me about the 45-minute ride. He says, oxygen mask. He says, I feel like I was being shot into outer space. He says, me and my friend, we looked down. He said, we're looking at tracks, these tracks. It's electric. We were elevated 2.5 feet above the track, and all we saw was electricity. He says, if we came off the track, it would be like we would hit the wall, and it would be like you saw a fly on the wall, and you swatted me. He said, it was that serious. He said, when I got off the other end, I was so tired, I was nearly sick. Oxygen mask. Situation room. From the White House to L.A. International Airport. It comes through Kansas City, Union Station. They have all these underground facilities and tunnels for federal government. In Denver, 6th in Washington, there's 6th in Kipling. I saw and waited 1 hour for all 1,300, 1,400 employees come out of the federal center, underground. Where Dick Cheney hit out. Situation room. Anyway, the Argos Tunnel, Denver, Colorado, 6th and Kiplinger. Go out there and check it out. About 3:30, folks. Now, here's the point.
Yeah, and it's like you have all
the tunnels are all over the place. And they run. They're all over the place. And you are very correct. Go ahead.
Yeah, you have all the underground tunnels that connect the old Playboy Mansion to the Getty Museum in Los Angeles.
That's right.
And so it's
the granddaughter of J. Paul Getty, she met with me in Las Vegas, and they murdered her later. Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's really all I was going off of, is that, like, basically you have all these like, decommissioned, because we've spoke about the operations in Hastings, Nebraska, and how there's, like, a bunker complex down there at the Air Force Base, and it's just all these decommissioned Air Force bases are all being converted into that sort of stuff.
I think the important thing to keep in mind here is it is the means by which facilitates the operation, which is if you can have tunnels in out of sight, it's better than doing and trafficking the other way.
Yes.
So you got anything more, Paul, that you want to say?
I really think that's covered it. I think we did good.
Ball. Okay. Why not?
Yeah,
before we leave.
Today,
no,
yeah.
Wait a minute. We're leaving 53 minutes. Ball. Christine Nolan. I want to focus on her for a little while instead of traffic kids in the tunnels. I want to focus on this witch. In my opinion, as a federal whistleblower, she deserves a jail cell for the next 50, 60 years, if not the death penalty. Would you be in agreement with me? And cite your case.
Yeah, I basically just know that she's been disingenuous the whole time that she's been working. Her first ever State of the State address in South Dakota was all to promote foster care in South Dakota, and just trying. She basically said, "I'm going to use my platform
To make money."
Yep.
Go ahead, Paul.
So, yeah, that was her first state of the straight address, and if she denies it, it's like, well, it was your own. It was your own media source that was the one that put out the story that indicates that, for the simple fact that it's like they use that to make you look heroic, thinking that most people are naive to what takes place in foster care.
Well, foster care can be a very difficult thing.
Mm-hmm.
And all of this business of trafficking, all of this business of using kids for this and using kids for that, it all comes from being able to do what they want to do and how they want to do it. And that's the key where people like you come in, Paul, because that's the only thing that we really have left. And to put the spotlight on it and watch the cockroaches run.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and the best way I know how to say the best, like, because Stu was asking earlier what's needed, right now it has to be kind of like the, it has to be something that is exposed in the media that almost isn't entirely related, because right now, like I said, I have probably about contacts for 40 cases of loved ones who can't get answers for how their loved ones passed in South Dakota, missing, murdered, wrongful death, or suicides, like I explained the one where I call them South Dakota suicides. They're suicides in name only, and so I just know that when, like, if I was able to get to a proper media source that I could show them the evidence that I currently am sitting on and have been sitting on for some time, that illustrates not just hearsay, and not just like I have hard evidence in various cases, and I have family contacts who have more evidence to support what I have. And so it's just a matter of getting all this into a media source that is willing to show it to everybody. Who's going to be brave enough?
I am, and Joe is. Now, let me finish this. There's things going on. I can't talk about either one of you, to either one of you. I'm working on it. We're going to have justice. If we don't, I'm dead. I guarantee you, they're going to kill me. They're poking this satellite, waking me at 6 a.m. every morning, cramping in my feet and legs, like Otis said before his death. Super Soup 007 Otis Johnson, West Star, Daddy Bush. I'm going to get you punks at E-System. I may come down there to Dallas and visit with you in person and rip your eyeballs off, your nose off, and ears off. Just ensure, and you name, take the next move. Here's what the deal is, in my opinion, Paul and Joe. When end time prophecies, Jesus Christ is going to deal with them. I don't have to deal with them. He's dealing with them now, but because of us speaking out, talking about this. Guess what? And I've heard profound statements today. Profound statements. This is the second solstice. This is the winter solstice, 2020, 21st, 22nd, where they do human sacrifices in Denver. Mike's in-laws were doing that. It's up there. Look at the last two postings, folks, before this radio show, and listen to it. I know what I'm talking about. I married the devil's daughter as Otis Johnson, 007, that worked for General Flint. Okay. General Flint's been relieved of his false indictment. Let me tell you something. Joe, I want you to conclude this. The time frame that we're in, and Joe and Paul both told the Christians, God protected. God protected. I know that. I know I'm God protected for a while. They'll get me eventually. But I have heaven. They don't. They got hell. Okay. Now, here's the deal. We're in time prophecies. We're here's what this twist is. Here's where the twist is, in my opinion. It isn't Israel. Yes, Joe, I'm in agreement with you. 1,000%, but you haven't been screaming that. Israel is, it's the fake Jews. They aren't the Jews. The Palestinians are the true Hebrews of ancient times. What are they doing? And Israel doing what? Creating World War III. But where did they originate, Joe? From the Khazarian Jews. So I want Joe to comment.
I can't continue on because I'm losing my battery. I've got to drop out. You can keep on with Paul.
I will. Paul.
I'll probably have to duck out too.
I'm getting ready to get off here in 2 minutes. Khazarian Jews.
No, Stu, I got to get off because I'm going to lose.
Go ahead, Joe. But hang on.
Well, thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Hang on, Paul. It's the Khazarian Jews out of. It's fighting Russia. We're fighting Russia right now. Lewinsky. Russia has threatened the United States, and China has over Lewinsky. Enough said, we'll end the show. Paul, I want to thank you very much for coming on and giving me a report.
Amen.
I'm going to spread this like wildfire, buddy.
Amen, that's what we want. So you take care. Have a good night.
Stay I will.
Safe and... Yeah, we'll be in touch, sir.
I'm going to say a prayer.
Okay.
In the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus Christ, Almighty God, God, through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, I come before you. I ask for angels of protection around Paul, around Joe, around myself. By your blood, Father, by your stripes! Who died on the cross for my sins and their sins. I ask, Father, you were stabbed. You were nailed to the cross. You were crowned. They killed you, Father, and you resurrected. I ask for angels of protection. I ask for you, Father, for healings and salvation for everybody, all three of us around here. But I'm asking for all Americans, all the whole world, angels of protection and healing. And I'm asking angels of protection and healing and salvation by your blood and by your stripes, Father. I ask for this to be done. In your holy name, Father. That's all I can ask, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Amen.
Yes.
We'll be in touch soon. Sounds good.